Would you pray with me? Father, we thank you for this morning of worship. We pray, Lord, now that the word is opened and will be proclaimed, that it will be a light, that it will encourage, that it will lift our spirits and take us through the year 2009. And after it's said and done, we'll give you all the praise and the honor and the glory because we ask it in Jesus' name. Amen and amen. One of the things that I don't have this afternoon, and I would ask you to just stay with me, what I don't have this afternoon is a 15-minute sermon. So if you'll just let me preach, and if it gets a little past 12:30, I'll do my best. Amen. Sermon for this afternoon, a God who clothed the grass. A God who clothed the grass. Now, I don't want to relive 2008. It was a tough time financially for many. But I'd like to share two reports that I believe speaks to 2008 and why I would love to just usher us on and encourage us in the year 2009. The first story that's still going on is about Bernard Madoff, who swindled a large number of famous investors out of over $50 billion, and he's been doing that for the past decade. And this is personal, but I'm not quite sure why he's not in the most roughest prison in the country. But the last I read, he was under house arrest in a $7 million apartment, mailing to family members millions of dollars in valuables, while one of his investors who lost over $1 billion took his own life. I have problems with that. And the next story comes out of this county. After a car accident killed 24-year-old expectant mother Inay Irande Gonzalez Angeles. Her and her unborn child lost their lives on the highway in a car passing by. The accident stopped, the passenger got out and picked up the purse and got back in their car and headed north on I-15. Now the police has caught a suspect in this crime, and he said that he really didn't do it, that he was trying to find a way to get the purse back. I don't buy that. Why didn't he stop and help to see what he could do? And he didn't exactly go to the nearest police station and turn in that purse. Someone saw him and wrote down his license plate. Police went to his door to get him. So I know he's saying on TV he's innocent, but he looks suspect. What could be in that purse worth doing such a thing? And how could Madoff work a Ponzi scheme for over $50 billion and not be caught, and not be concerned with what he was doing? And so it's no accident that Jesus has more to say about matters of money, matters of goods, than any other subject in the New Testament that he speaks of. That usually surprises people when I say that, and it's really not a new idea, and it's there. And so I was impressed to start a sermon in 2009 with a message taken, if you would turn in your Bibles to the Gospel of St. John, the 12th chapter, St. Luke, the 12th chapter, and the sermon title is taken from verse 28, where it talks about if God so clothed the grass, which today is in the field and tomorrow is thrown into the oven, how much more will he clothe you, O you of little faith? I would challenge you to read chapter 12 of St. Luke. You'll find it one of the great chapters in the Bible, and I say this about a lot of the chapters, so forgive me. I say that a lot, but this truly is, in this chapter of St. Luke, many stories that you're familiar and many passages from our Lord's lips that are meaningful. A God who clothed the grass. In fact, there are several passages that jump out at me. Verse 3, verse 4, verse 5, and I'll read 5 and 6 and 7 of chapter 12 of Luke. But I will show you whom you should fear. Fear him who after he has killed has power to cast into hell. Yes, I say to you, fear him. Are not 5 sparrows sold for 2 copper coins, and not one of them is forgotten before God? And look at verse 7. But the very hairs of your head, and my Bible, I have a New King James Version. This is what it says. But the very hairs of your head are all numbered. I know that's an interesting rendering. The very hairs of our head are all numbered. That ought to blow you away. Isn't that something? I know you already know what it's talking about. How much God cares. And then another passage that jumps out of, and just grips me is the passage number 15, verse 15. Take heed and beware, Jesus says, of covetousness. For one's life does not consist in the abundance of things he possesses. Great passage. I love it. So true. And then the passage I just read, verse 28. If God so clothe the grass. And I will stop there. I've shared with you that I am a silent worrier. Not warrior, worrier. I may look calm and cool, but inside, there's something worrying me. And I'm going to publicly take that back. I've concluded after reading what a worrier really is that I'm not that person. In fact, I read that a worrier is a person when things are going bad, they worry because things are bad. And when things are good, they worry because things might get bad. That's not me. So if a worrier is that, that's not me. I'm taking that back. One thing about worrying is a type of fear. And I believe that it's hard to be a worrier, not warrior, worrier, and be in faith with God at the same time. That's why I want to take that back. God lets us know in these passages that he cares for the sparrows. The cheapest article of food in Jesus' day was a sparrow. It was 2 pennies. If you couldn't get anything else to eat, you could buy a sparrow. And why we know that it was such a cheap article, because it had been written in the 3rd century A.D. by the Emperor Diocletian. He made an edict, believe it or not, he must have had nothing else to do, saying that the maximum allowable charge for 10 sparrows was 7 cents. We have that as a part of history. So we know that a sparrow was inexpensive. It was cheap. Now God says, I care about the sparrow. Are you more valuable than a sparrow? You can bet. He cares about you. In fact, the very hairs of our head are all numbered. So don't worry what you're going to eat, what you're going to put on your body. For if I clothe the grass, I want you to think about that passage. Now I know God doesn't get up every morning and get pants or skirt and a top for grass. I know that. But I believe what it means, God knows and cares about every blade of grass. Now that's caring. So he cares about you in 2009. A God that so clothed the grass. Flowers, you can look in interpretations. He's really talking about flower. That's not my point. God cares about you. Don't worry. You say, this is not working on me, Pastor. It doesn't work. God says he's interested in the birds and the flowers and the grass. And you're right. There are millions of birds that die every day. Flowers die every day. And in fact, people die every day. I thought you said God cared. Where is God in all of this? Two thoughts. Two trains of thoughts when you read commentaries. There is a thought that I don't have to worry about anything. God's there. He'll take care of me. I don't have to work. I don't have to do anything. God will be there. Listen here. If you take that position, you're going to starve and you're going to freeze. God's providence. I want to say this kindly. Often in church, as a pastor, you meet people like that over the years. They come off of the interstate. They usually grab the deacon and say, is the pastor around? And they usually want something from the pastor. That's not a problem, but that's how they live. They go from church to church to church, not doing anything. I don't endorse that. And there is another sense. Jesus, in his speech and in talking, he's talking to his disciples. In order to make a point, sometimes overemphasizes to make a point. Jesus is making a point about worry and anxiousness. That we should not be overburdened with worry. If you're on planet Earth and you're breathing, unless you're real young, they don't have a whole lot to worry about or they don't know about it. But everyone else, there's something you've worried about. I'm not talking about that. There's a difference between Jesus saying, do not be anxious and pray and work. It's okay to pray and work. But do not be overburdened by worry. Oh, I thought somebody say amen. I guess you're worried out there. Don't worry. We serve a God that clothed the grass. God. And so we're not interested in talking about the carefree, no responsibility, God will take care of me, I don't need a job person. Please don't misunderstand me. We're not talking about that. I think what God's saying, in essence, trust me. Trust me. And when you're going out looking for the job, trust me. In fact, Matthew 10:29 says, not one of the sparrows even falls to the ground without the Father taking notice. So if you're out there looking for a job, does God notice? He sure does. He absolutely notices. So much more. God wants us to be courageous, and he wants us to be active. If you don't have a job, continue looking for a job. And he wants us to have a heart that's free in trusting him. Let me show you, let me tell you where I think we've gone wrong. You probably have a whole lot more and a lot more wisdom next week. But let me share what I think. And this is a message for superpowers of all time. Read Deuteronomy 8 if you want to back it up with scripture. God warns wealthy and powerful nations that to try to build security by accumulating wealth is a mistake. Oh, hell. Now, there's nothing wrong with accumulating wealth. If you want to share your wealth, please share it. Nothing wrong with accumulating wealth, but if you think it will give you security, you are mistaken. And we found that out in the last year or two, haven't we? It will not secure us. Fallbrook, I don't know if you've heard the end of the story, but I will tell you, all that will be said in 2009, do not worry. It serves no useful purpose. In fact, the Bible adds, can a man add one cubit? Now, you know how I interpret that one cubit? I've read it over and over. I know what a cubit is. From your elbow to the tip of your hand, it varies from 18 inches, 20 inches, 24 inches. You'll hear various, but it's quite a bit. Can any of us add 18 inches to our stature? No. It's impossible. So why worry? Does the grass worry? The flowers worry? Do the birds worry? Worrying cannot add a single hour to our life. John Travolta and Kelly Preston. Had a memorial service there. Hollywood actors, actress. Memorial service this week in Central Florida at their home to honor their 16-year-old son, Jet. The couple lives in an $8 million home with its own airstrip nearby in the near town. Jet died while they were on vacation in the Grand Bahamas. When I heard that story, my heart just absolutely, I don't know them, of course they don't know me, but my heart went out to them. They didn't tell me this, but I would venture to say, despite all of their millions, they would trade them in to have their son back. Life, haven't you figured out that life is more than possessions? The most important thing is people. Haven't you found that out in 2008? I want to let you know that's still true in 2009. It's people that are important, not things. Oh, I think a number of families in here know that quite well. It's people that are important, not things. You know that John Travolta is a member of the Church of Scientology that believes that one spirit, as I quote, is reborn in another human body. Sounds like reincarnation to me. And he says about the loss of his son, it's something I don't have words for. And my heart goes out to them, but I would like to share good news to John Travolta. And I read it for you from 1 Corinthians 15. And the Bible says, 51, behold, I tell you a mystery. We shall not all sleep, but we shall all be changed. In a moment, in the twinkling of an eye, at the last trumpet, for the trumpet will sound and the dead will be raised incorruptible, and we shall be changed. This corruptible must put on incorruption, and this mortal must put on immortality. So when this corruption has put on incorruption, and this mortal put on immortality, then shall be brought to pass the saying that is written, death is swallowed up into victory. O death, where is your sting? O Hades, or hell, where is your victory? Thing of death is sin, and the strength of sin is the law. But thanks be to God who gives us victory through Jesus Christ our Lord. Therefore, my beloved brethren, and be steadfast, immovable, always abounding in the work of the Lord, knowing that your labor is not in vain in the Lord. I say in the words of Dr. King, I'm not worried anymore. I've seen the promised land. When we worry, we limit what God can do for us because we are not operating in faith. I have a question as I end. I don't have the answer. In fact, you may have the answer. Is worry a sin? Now, don't be so quick to answer. One thing I will tell you, I believe we've all sinned and fallen short of the glory of God. Amen? If worry is a sin, you've sinned. What I will tell you, that sin will cause you to worry. You can be sure of that. Want to, for those of you who might be guests or not familiar, the Seventh-day Adventist Church believes that the gift of prophecy came through the writings of Ellen White, inspired by God. She has some interesting things to say about this worry. Let me just read just a couple of quotes, see what you think about it, what she has to say about worry. This one, she says, Second Selected Messengers, one of her books, 253, grieve not the spirit by worry. Desire of ages. If you're going to worry about something, she says, worry about this. Worry of oneself out of Christ's arms. Powerful, isn't it? Ministry of healing. Now, this one, Lord help me. Health is broken down by anxiety or worry. And then this one, first volume of the Testimonies, 566. Worry is stamped on the features of some people. Come on now. I'll say it for you. You've seen some people, they tell you what their age is, and you say silently, I know that that is not true. Because worry is stamped on them. I hope you don't say that about me, but it may be true. And let me encourage you with this. And Paul, get ready to, as Paul and Gabby are going to do something for me and as I end the service. Evangelism, page 81. God is not pleased by a life of worry. And I want to encourage you. When we are pressed under by anxiety, God is near. Oh, thank you. Thank you. I want you to do this. If you don't get anything else about my sermon, I want you to remember this. A God who clothed the grass. Come on now, you have to admit that's good. That word is good. A God who clothed the grass. Worry is unwise because of a God who clothed the grass. And because we know what our future is in Jesus. Paul and Gabby.
In this quiet place with you, I bow before your throne. I bear the deepest parts of me to you and you alone. I keep no secrets, for there is no thought you have not known. I bring my past and all the rest to you and lay them down. With all my heart, I want to love you, Lord, and live my life each day to know you more. All that is in me is yours completely. I serve you only with all my heart. You faithfully supply my needs according to your plan. So help me, Lord, to seek your face before I seek your hand. Then trust you'll know what's best for me when I don't understand. then follow in obedience in every circumstance with all my heart. I want to love you, Lord, and live my life each day to know you more. All that is in me is yours completely. Thank you, Jesus. Ooh, 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 ooh. I'll serve you. With all my heart.
Hallelujah, the Lord be praised. Let's pray. Father, yeah, we worry. Sometimes we worry. But we turn our worries over to you. Lord, I read someplace where worry anticipates the worst. How can we serve you and anticipate the worst? We thank you, Lord, that you have taken the worst of us, our sins, and cast them into the bottom of the sea by what you did on Calvary's tree. We can never repay you. We can never thank you enough, but we can stop worrying. And so, Lord, Holy Spirit, come down and remake us and change our attitude in 2009, no matter what we hear. And we'll be careful to praise your name forever because of our future with you. In Jesus' name.